Okay, well, we're going to pick up. We can go ahead and turn the lights on, guys. I think we're safe now. The air has stayed on. Amen. It's cool in here. Hopefully this thing will stay cool. It'll stay working. You can fill in all the blanks on your outline. Yes, yes. Question, would you agree that there is a real strong connection between praying in faith and trusting God? Does that make sense? Yeah. Listen to this. A man named Jack was walking along a steep cliff one day when he accidentally got too close to the edge and fell. On the way down, he grabbed the branch, which temporarily stopped his fall. He looked around, or looked down, and to his horror, saw that the canyon fell straight down for more than 1,000 feet. He couldn't hang on to the branch forever, and there was no way for him to climb up the steep wall of the cliff. So Jack began yelling for help, hoping that someone passing by would hear him and lower a rope or something. Help! Help! Is anyone up there? He's going out. Help! He yells for a long time. No one hears him. He's about to give up when he hears a voice. Jack. Jack, can you hear me? Yes, I'm down here. I can hear you. I can see you, Jack. Are you all right? Yes, but who are you? Where are you? I'm the Lord, Jack. The Lord? You mean God? That's me. God, please help me. I promise if you get me down from here, I'll stop sinning. I'll be a really good person. I'll serve you for the rest of my life. Easy on the promises, Jack. Let's get you off of there, then we can talk. Listen carefully. Here's what I want you to do. I'll do anything, Lord. Just tell me what to do. Okay, let go of the branch. What? I said, let go of the branch. Just trust me. Let go. There's a long silence. Finally, help! Help! Anybody else up there? yeah. But think about that a second. This branch, these things that we hang on to for a sense of strength or safety or hope, how willing are you to let go of those things? I mean, if you're in this guy's position, there's 1,000 feet below you, and you've got this branch that's keeping you safe at the moment, are you that eager to just open your hand? I don't know. There's a connection between praying and faith and how much we're willing to trust God for the outcome. So we're going to spend some time together. We're going to take a look at this. The sermon title is kind of Praying in Faith. Next week, we're going to look at God's answers to prayers, 4 different ways that God answers prayers. Now, I'm going to read through. It's a rather lengthy story, but one of my absolute favorites in the entire Bible. This Old Testament story is amazing. If you want to use one of the red Bibles, it's page 470, one of those pew Bibles. We're going to study a prayer of the king of Israel. His name is Jehoshaphat, and I'm going to read through it. Again, I would just say, go back and take a look at this, because I'm going to blitz right through this so we can get to it. We don't have a lot of time together today. After this, the armies of the Moabites, Ammonites, and some of the Meunites declared war on Jehoshaphat. That's the king of Israel. Messengers came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army from Edom is marching against you from the Dead Sea. That means they would be coming from the south of Israel. Where are we at? Lost it. Okay, they are already at the En-Gedi. Jehoshaphat was alarmed by this news and sought the Lord for guidance. He also gave orders that everyone throughout Judah should observe a fast. So people from all the towns of Judah came to Jerusalem to seek the Lord. Jehoshaphat stood before the people of Judah and Jerusalem in front of the new courtyard at the temple of the Lord. He prayed, O Lord God of our ancestors, you alone are the God who is in heaven. You are ruler of all the kingdoms of the earth. You are powerful and mighty. No one can stand against you. O our God, did you not drive out those who lived in this land when your people arrived? And you did not give this land forever? Did you not give this land forever to the descendants of your friend Abraham? Your people settled here and built this temple for you. They said, whenever we are faced with any calamity such as war, disease, or famine, we can come to stand in your presence before this temple where your name is honored. We can cry out to you to save us, and you will hear us and rescue us. And now we see that the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir are what they're doing. You would not let our ancestors invade those nations when Israel left Egypt. So they went around them and did not destroy them. Now see how they reward us? For they have come to throw us out of your land, which you gave us as an inheritance. Oh, our God, won't you stop them? We are powerless against this mighty army that is about to attack us. We do not know what to do, but we're looking to you for help. As all the men of Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, wives, and children, the Spirit of the Lord came upon one of the men standing there. His name was Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, son of Benaniah, son of Jeiel, he's from the Levites. Long name. He said, "Listen, King Jehoshaphat, listen, all you people of Judah and Israel. This is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. Don't be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march out against them. You will find them coming up through the ascent of Ziz at the end of the valley that opens into the wilderness of Jeruel. But you will not even need to fight. Take your positions, then stand still and watch the Lord's victory. He is with you, O people of Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Go out there tomorrow, for the Lord is with you." Then King Jehoshaphat bowed down with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem did the same, worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites from the clans of Kohath and Korah stood to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud shout. Early the next morning, the army of Judah went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. On the way, Jehoshaphat stopped and said, "Listen to me, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be able to stand firm. Believe in his prophets, and you will succeed." After consulting the leaders of the people, the king appointed singers to walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord and praising him for his holy splendor. This is what they sang: "Give thanks to the Lord. His faithful love endures forever." At the moment they began to sing and give praise, the Lord caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to start fighting among themselves. The armies of Moab and Ammon turned against their allies from Mount Seir and killed every one of them. After they had finished off the army of Seir, they turned on each other. So when the army of Judah arrived at the lookout point in the wilderness, there were dead bodies laying in the ground as far as they could see. Not a single one of the enemy had escaped. King Jehoshaphat and his men went out to gather the plunder. They found vast amounts of equipment, clothing, and other valuables, more than they could carry. There was so much plunder that it took them 3 days just to collect it all. On the fourth day, they gathered in the Valley of Blessing, which got its name that day because the people praised and thanked God there. It is still called the Valley of Blessing today. Then they returned to Jerusalem with Jehoshaphat leading them, full of joy that the Lord had given them victory over their enemies. They marched into Jerusalem to the music of harps, lyres, and trumpets, and proceeded to the temple of the Lord. When the surrounding kingdoms heard that the Lord himself had fought against the enemies of Israel, the fear of God came over them. So Jehoshaphat's kingdom was at peace, for his God had given him rest on every side. Is that an amazing story? I'll tell you, I've been so excited to share with you what God has kind of been doing in me this week as a result of studying this, especially as I faced this surgery on Tuesday. I've been kind of fretting and fussing about it, and the more I spent time in this, it just kind of got more and more peace, and God's got some good stuff to show us today. So the first thing, the first key principle is, how do I respond when alarmed? That's the first thing in your outline. How do I respond when I'm alarmed? So when you're facing a crisis, you're facing a major decision, what do you do? Do you panic? Do you get overwhelmed? Do you get frustrated? How do you react when you've got some kind of alarming situation? Some folks say, I need something to get through this. And they're thinking, well, I'm going to need some drugs. I'm going to need some alcohol. I'm going to need some, you know, some comfort food. I'm going to need to go shopping, whatever it is. We've got ways that we respond, that we react when something comes along. Some folks just get busy. They work up a to-do list, and they may, who knows what they're going to do. Some folks get, you know, I'm going to get on the internet. I'm going to search this. I'm going to read a book. I'm going to talk to a friend. And some of these latter things, not in themselves wrong or bad, unless they take the place of, unless they become competition when, in terms of seeking God. Remember, part one of our series in terms of prayer was, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Means God is set apart. His name is set apart. God has no competition, no competitors. That is very important. Obviously, the way Jehoshaphat responds here, there are no competitors in his heart for God, are there? He goes right straight to God. He inquires. He says in verse 12, "Our eyes are upon you." Kind of reminds me of King David in Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd." Again, he's not going anywhere else. He's going right to God. What I see here is a balance. Jehoshaphat takes a look at the problem. He doesn't ignore the situation. He's got three armies that have formed a coalition, and they've come to take him to kick the Israelites out of their territory so that these folks can have it. So he's aware. He's not in denial. And we shouldn't be in denial about the situations that we're facing, because what they do is give us a focus. What we see Jehoshaphat says in verse 12, "We are powerless against this mighty army." So when we have an accurate assessment of what our situation is, it helps us bring focus to our prayer. Does that make sense? When I know what I'm up against, like Jehoshaphat, I now take that reality, that awareness, and I bring it to God in the form of focused prayer. So, inquiring of the Lord, we need to understand what it is that we're about to deal with. But here's the catch. We don't get the battle plan while we're focused on the problem. We're not going to figure out how do we defeat this giant, or how is this giant going to be defeated, when we're simply focused on the problem. If we're running around, you know, crying like Chicken Little, we're not going to get God's battle plan. We've got to stay focused in prayer. Now, why does Jehoshaphat make this prayer and fasting his option? Why does he go to God? Well, what option did he have? Well, the usual option of the day, and there were other kings that exercised this. In fact, the three kings that came against him, normally they would have been isolated, just like a silo. But they got together. That's usually what happened in this time in history. If you were being outmuscled and you were being bullied by somebody, then you made an alliance, maybe with some money or some kind of promises, to some other kings that lived around you. And what you would do is get enough people on your side that you would kind of call their bluff. And then the thing wouldn't even happen sometimes. Okay, well, you've got three kings, we've got five. All right, you want to fight? Bring it on. And they go, oh, okay, well, this guy that we were going to mess with, he's got four more buddies coming alongside, so we're not going to mess with him. So that is the option. Jehoshaphat certainly could have done that. He could have kind of tipped that power balance the other way in his favor. So why does he go to God? The answer is in his prayer, because of God's faithfulness. God has been faithful to his covenant with Israel throughout the years and his relationship with them. And so Jehoshaphat looks at that and he says, God's trustworthy. He has been involved in the life of our country, our people. We can count on him. So my question is this. Well, actually, let me read that verse. He says, "You were faithful in the past, and we are asking you to be faithful to us now in our time of need." Isn't that awesome? In our time of need. So my question is this. Do you have a track record with the Lord? Do you have a track record of that kind of interaction where you've gone to God, you've asked for something, he's provided, you've got history? Do you? Do you have that kind of history? Can you say, Lord, you've been faithful to me before. I'm going to trust you. That's been my focus. Those words have been my focus this week. I had this surgery 2 years ago. It was supposed to last for 20. The doctor didn't do something right. So, I'm facing this. The last time I faced it, it was very unpleasant. Not the surgery, the anesthetic. It's got me messed up in my head. Well, there are ways around this. So we're talking about options. But my trust, my prayer, God, you've been faithful to me before. In fact, in these last few weeks, I've been going through the pre-op physicals and stuff, this whole heart deal, stress test, all this kind of stuff. Thank God I talked to Betty when I was visiting Judy on Wednesday. Betty says, you don't want that medicine. In the stress test, I wasn't able to do the treadmill. They give you a medicine to make your heart do like it's supposed to be. She said, that stuff is nasty. So I got there, I talked to them. I said, I've been talking to some folks. That stuff's nasty. What are my options? And they came up with a really nice option. It was amazing. God took care of it. He took care of it. I put my faith and trust. I said, Lord, you've been faithful to me before. You're going to be faithful to me again. I'm putting my trust in you. So do you have that kind of track record? Can you say, God, I'm so grateful for the way you have been involved in my life? Now, when you're facing a crisis, a battle, when the forces of darkness or whatever are coming, do you admit that you're powerless? You see, that's a key here. Not because, again, I said this last week, God doesn't want us thinking and acting like little babies and that we're just helpless. But the reality is, in this situation, Jehoshaphat was helpless. He said, we're powerless. We don't have another shot at this. Lord, if you don't do something, we're history, we're toast. So admitting our helplessness, this is on your outline, admitting our helplessness to the Lord is not to be mistaken for fear. Okay, it's not. It's just a simple statement of reality. We're out-muscled. That's what Jehoshaphat's saying. We're out-muscled. It's simply a statement of reality. You know, sometimes our circumstances are bigger than us. Sometimes we are powerless in ourselves to defeat the enemy. And one of the reasons that we can get into some spiritual depression, being overwhelmed emotionally and spiritually, is because we put our focus on the problem, the crisis, the decision, and we don't put our focus on God. That's what Jehoshaphat is showing us. He doesn't get all freaked out by the armies that are amassing themselves to come after him. He acknowledges it, he sees it's a reality, and his focus is on God. That's important. Very important. Tackling our own problems in our own strength is a quick trip to getting yourself scared and hopeless. It'll get you messed up, all right? And in our society, there are a lot of options besides inquiring of the Lord. There are. I've just got a few here. One of my favorites that I don't go to, but I like to talk about, the TV talk show host. They all want to help you through whatever crisis or decision that you're facing in your life. They'll dispense all kinds of wisdom how to get you through that. There are people on the other end of the telephone line that start with either 1-800 or 1-900, and they'll be happy to talk to you. Psychics are readily available, not just for you, but your pet as well, if you need that. Instead of reading a biblically based devotional, some folks check out their horoscope first thing. They get it downloaded on their computer, Facebook, whatever. Open up the computer first thing, they get their horoscope. Not an idea. And if you're really desperate, fortune cookies may give you a word in time. I don't know, that's real desperate, but here's the reality. Jesus is in a class all by himself. Amen. When we turn to him with our need, storms are quieted, the lame walk, the blind see, broken are made whole again, the frightened find peace, the brokenhearted find comfort, the hurting find hope, sinners find grace and forgiveness. Our God stands out from all the others. He does not have competition. Not really. So he's the only source that we need to inquire of. If you go to another source before you go to God, if that source doesn't send you to the feet of Jesus, get the other direction. Do not let that source speak into your life. Do not give them permission to influence you. Number two, second key principle, the battle belongs to the Lord. I love this. You know, that's a familiar phrase, really. The battle belongs to the Lord. It comes right out of this prayer, out of this this prophecy of Prophet Jehaziel. Verse 15, don't be afraid, don't be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. I love that. The battle is not yours, but God's. So Jehoshaphat calls this fast. There's prayer. They're gathered in Judah or in Jerusalem, and God responds. He speaks through his spirit, puts these words into the heart, into the mind, and the spirit of Jehaziel, And Jehoshaphat receives this prophecy as true, as coming from God. If you go back a couple chapters, he's hanging out, I think it was with Ahab, not a good guy. He was the king of Israel. Jehoshaphat is the king of Judah. I mentioned Israel already, king of Judah and Jerusalem. Jehoshaphat did not receive the word of the false prophets. He said, no, these are not from God. Don't you have a prophet in this country? So we know that Jehoshaphat has heard prophecies before. He receives this prophecy as coming from God himself. It's a genuine word. And we can see in his response, he follows out that faith and that trust. He acknowledged this is God's servant. In fact, he comes under the authority of God and then acts in faith. And his response is very important. Again, it raises questions. When you get a word from the Lord, that battle plan, do you receive that word in faith? Do you submit yourself to that word in faith? Do you bow down in worship to the God who gave it? Or do you argue with God and say, God, this can't be your plan. That doesn't make any sense. Or do you say, look, if I do that plan, like Joshua. Joshua gets the plan to take Jericho. What is that plan? March around the city 7 days. Seventh day, march around 7 times, blow your trumpets, holler, shout, the walls are going to come down. What? God, I'll look like a fool. What? Seriously, what? That doesn't make any sense. Doesn't make any sense. God's battle plan. Or you can take exception to the prophet that God sends, and you can reject both the prophet and God's word. What do you do when that word comes on your outline? If we do anything but submit to his battle plan, we have not prayed in faith, nor have we responded in faith. For the battle to belong to the Lord, we must completely die to self. We state, like Jehoshaphat did, he said, God, here's our need. These folks, these three kings, they're coming after us. How will you protect us? And how will you protect the inheritance that you have given us? He left it in God's hands. When we state our need, we wait. Everything that we could do otherwise is flesh, not spirit. It has to be kept in submission. We have to be patient. Not a word that I like. Some of you don't either. For the battle to belong to the Lord, we've got to come into prayer without an agenda. If we come in with an agenda, we're asking God to bless our plans. That's where I caught myself in the last couple weeks, knowing since February. Ah, you're kidding. I've got to go through this again. I thought this was taken care of. I'm not going to go through that. I was clicking. I was making sure I was getting the agenda all set up. God said, David, you can do your plans or we can go with my plan. Yeah. God's not interested in our opinions about how he ought to fix our problems. He's not. He doesn't care what our opinion is. He cares about our feelings. He cares about our situation. But trust me, God is smart enough to put together a plan that will be more than what you need. Amen? Amen. Amen. He is. Throughout Scripture, have you ever seen one of God's plans fail? Did the walls of Jericho come tumbling down? They did. The battle of Ai, God says, Joshua, split up your troops, one in front, one behind. Did that battle succeed? It did. All the battles that David did, Samson. What about the battle plan for Lazarus when he got sick? Did Lazarus come walking out of the grave or what? He did. Does God's battle plan ever fail? No, no. So, if the battle plan is going to belong, the battle is going to belong to the Lord, we have got to stay out of it. We have to be faithful in prayer. We submit, we listen, we trust. We have to be spirit-filled, spirit-led. Number three, key principle, praise precedes the victory. This is amazing. I'll tell you what. This is amazing. Verse 21. After consulting the leaders of the people, the king appointed singers to walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord and praising him for his holy splendor. This is what they sang. Give thanks to the Lord. His faithful love endures forever. Can you imagine? So Jehoshaphat, right after he receives this word in faith, he doesn't put the skilled warriors out in front of the army. Wouldn't you think that's what you would do? What does he do? He gets the praise and worship team out there. All right, troops, lead us into battle. What? Really? Amazing. And what's going on? You heard me read through that. Again, go back and look at this story. Praise and worship get started, and what happens? God's battle is taking place. Amazing. Amazing. I'll tell you, this is one of the most inspiring, uplifting, encouraging, pump-up-your-faith stories I've ever seen in the Bible. This is amazing. In fact, it's on your outline. Acting, praying in faith means offering praise in advance of the victory. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Jehoshaphat hasn't seen the victory, has he? He hasn't seen this victory. All he knows is the word of God said, the battle belongs to me. This thing is taken care of. We get to see the end of the story in the context of it. Jehoshaphat and the people had to live this thing out. They pray, they fast, they ask God to live and work in this situation. God says, it's taken care of. That is all they knew. That's all they heard. It's taken care of. But Jehoshaphat, even though he hasn't seen the victory, he knows the victor. See, that's the key. He knows the victor. He has a trust relationship, history with God. That is where he gets his confidence. He sees by faith. He trusts. He trusts this promise of victory. That's all he's got, folks. He's just got a promise. He believes in it. Again, do you have a history of seeing the outcome of praying and walking in faith and trust? You see, here's the catch. If you've never really let yourself have that kind of vulnerability with God, if you've never really trusted Him in a situation, then you're short-circuited on the whole cycle. If you've never trusted Him, then you don't have the history of the answers to prayer. You don't have that build up in your faith. You're not getting strength, soul food, as Pastor Dan said. You're not getting that poured into you. And then you're not likely to pray in faith. So again, let me clarify something. The kind of faith praying that we're talking about is not to be confused with kind of a simple-minded naivety. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the fact that when we pray, we trust that God is going to do on earth what He wants to do in heaven. That's what we're talking about. A reality-based kind of praying. Just simple. Lord, we trust that You are faithful and that You're reliable. And because of that, that's what Jehoshaphat was based on. Now, God has given His word. He's given His promise. God doesn't back down on His promises. Let's praise God now for His promise. Not for the victory, for the promise. That is what Jehoshaphat and the people are doing. So, if you've never trusted God in this way, I'm going to ask you just to start with something that you're facing right now. Whatever it is. If it's a crisis, if it is just maybe a decision. And if you've never done this, and you're just going, wow, I don't know. Start with something small. I remember when I first became a believer, people started talking about, you know, hearing from God, letting God speak to you, letting God encourage you, letting God direct you, correct you, whatever. What? How does this work? Help me out here. I just started with small things. And what it did is it gave me a track record. It gave God and I history. So if you've never done this, just start with something small. Let God then begin to work. And then as He does that, it builds your faith. It encourages you. All right? Fourth key principle, take up your positions. In verse 16, tomorrow, march out against them. Verse 17, take up your positions. Verse 24, so when the army of Judah arrived at the lookout point in the wilderness. Here's the thing. Jehoshaphat didn't get the promise. Okay, the battle belongs to the Lord. All right, good, 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 good. We're all set. After praise and worship, people didn't go. What'd they do? They did their part. God is going to give you a part to play in the process. Do it. Whatever it is, just follow through with it. God doesn't excuse us from taking part in the battle plan. Now, you might be saying, why bother? God already said, okay, you don't even have to fight. They already knew that. But why? I love, this is the best part of the whole story. What is the biggest reason God wants us to take up our positions? To see His provision. To see His provision. Imagine what it was like for the armies and the worship team of Israel to show up and the picture that we were painted in Scripture. Can you try to put that as a video clip in your brain? They get the lookout. They've got some high ground. What do they see? Dead people everywhere. What? God wasn't kidding, was He? We're not going to have to fight. So when did this battle take place? While we were singing and praising and giving thanks to God for His victory. Amazing. So God says, Israel, I'm going to take care of this. I want you to show up. Why? So you can see My power. So you can see My faithfulness. You can see My provision for you. Isn't that incredible? I'll tell you what. This army, they were exhausted not from fighting, but from hauling plunder. 3 days. Can you imagine? 3 days. Wow. The stuff, the haul that they made out of this would have been a huge blessing for them. And what they have a history too, it doesn't talk about it here, but in other places, when they bring all the loot back, they share it. It isn't just the folks who found it. It's for the community. They bring it back and they share it. But here's the thing. If we don't ever follow through, if Israel had never followed through, they would never have seen God's provision. And that's the key. We've got to be there. We've got to show up. On your outline, God calls us to the battlefield not to fight the battle, but to see His faithfulness and power displayed. So if you want to see that, if you want to see God's faithfulness, if you want to see His power, show up. Do what He says. Amen. Last one. Key principle number 5. Give God the praise. Give God the praise. On the 4th day, they gathered. That's the 4th day. The 3 days, they wore themselves out hauling the loot, right? 4th day, they gathered in that valley where all the dead people had been. Okay? They gathered in the valley of blessing, and which God had seen that day because the people praised and thanked the Lord there. Amen. Amen. Give God the praise. Acknowledge God for what He's done. Don't just walk away with the plunder. All right? That's your last fill in the blank. Don't just walk away the plunder. It had been so easy for the Israelites to show up, go, yes! Ha ha! Wow! Look at this! Gathered up all this stuff, hauled it home. Woo! Look at us! All right? They could have done that. But they didn't. They stopped. They said, you know what? This was a whole lot bigger than us. This was God's battle. This wasn't ours. And you know what? Here's another thing. Remind me of Will Smith. Anybody see Independence Day? This has been around now forever. You know, and he's being chased by the enemy ship, and they're going through the canyon and whatever, and then there's the big crash and all that. And what does he do when he gets out? It's kind of funny. You know, he's thumping his chest, and who brought you down and all this? You know, he's doing some trash talk, and, you know, he's doing the chest thumping. There wasn't any of that right here. How could they? How could they say, yeah, look what we did. Take that, you suckers. Nothing. Nothing. It was simply praising God. They had nothing to do with this. All right? There's no pride. There's no trash talk. Nothing. Just giving God praise. So, here's the thing. It's real easy for us to get caught up in all the things that God can do for us. Hey, we just want the plunder. Lord, just take care of things. Praise God for who He is. Okay? Praise God for who He is. He's a loving God. He's an all-powerful God. He's a wise God. He's smart. He can put together things you can't even dream up. All right? Give God praise for who He is. And receive the victory in a way that doesn't have you looking like a spoiled kid. See, here again, Israel, they could have just been spoiled. Well, you know, it's about time. I'm sure glad God gave them a little bit of what they got coming. You know, I'm glad, even though they, you know, didn't treat us all that well when we came out of Egypt, and you know, they didn't want to let us pass through the land, and they were kind of, you know, being piggish about it. God, I'm glad you finally got even with them. Here they were trying to kick us out of this land. You know, they had it coming. None of that. No attitude. No attitude. And we don't want to have an attitude. We don't want to just get all full of ourselves. It's not about me. Okay? It's not. Again, how in this situation can you say, it was God? Like some of our short stories this morning. God's stories. How do you explain that? Mary was sharing one with me this morning. How do you put statistical odds on that kind of stuff? You can't. All you can say is, that's a God thing. There's no other way to explain it. That is what we need to be focused on. So, this kind of completes the whole cycle of acting and praying in faith. When we get God's provision, God's answer, the whole thing gets kind of completed, the whole cycle, the whole circle, when we stop, acknowledge who God is. We thank Him for what He's done. Say, Lord, wow. Wow. All I can do is say thanks. Wasn't anything I did. I didn't have anything to do with this. It's You. Lord, thank You. Now, next week, we're going to talk about four ways God can answer prayers. And I won't give you any other hints than that. We're going to look at four different answers, different passages of Scripture that illustrate God's answers to prayer. If you've been frustrated with some of the answers you've gotten, come and learn about why that might be. What's going on? All right, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank You for giving us this story. Thank You for Your faithfulness. Thank You for Jehoshaphat's heart, that he was willing to inquire of You, to come to You. Lord, If he had not acted in faith, we wouldn't have this story. But that was his choice. And thank You for speaking to the prophet Jehaziel, giving him the courage to speak on Your behalf, to be an encouragement to the king and to the people. Lord, as we face difficult times, difficult situations, decisions, help us to remember this story. Let it shape our response so we don't have to cry, the world is falling, the sky is falling. We don't have to go there. We just acknowledge our problems, our situations, the things we're up against, and then come to You. Lord, I want to pray especially for those today that would be willing to take that first step of trusting You. To begin that history with You. Maybe it's the situation they're facing right now. Lord, help them to have the strength to simply let go of the branch, to let go of the things that they've been using for strength and safety, and just trust you. Lord, I pray a special blessing on the dads today, that they would be models with others, whether it's their own kids, their spouse, their family, their friends, their coworkers, their neighbors, to be models of this kind of faith. Lord, in this moment, speak to us, encourage us. We give you praise. We give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you please stand as we sing together our closing song?
Pastor David, thank you again for such a wonderful message. I would ask, before we close in song, myself and Jean and Jillian will be out of town for the next 3 weeks. I would just ask for your prayers for traveling mercies. We're going to be in Michigan for about 3 weeks, so if you'd keep us in your prayers, that would be greatly appreciated. We're going to sing Majesty together.
Here I am, humbled by your majesty, covered by your grace so free.
His Majesty.
Majesty. Majesty. Your grace has found me just as I am. Empty-handed but alive in your hand.
Thank you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, we're going to wrap up communication cards. Are they getting towards the middle? I see some already turned in. Fantastic. We'd like to collect those a moment. All right. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Better check. Where's that go? Okay. All right. Excellent. All right. Henry's going to head to the back right now. We've got some books back there for dads. If you're a dad, you're interested, something back there, a gift for you today for Father's Day. Before you take off, please receive this blessing from the Lord. May the love of God our Father be with you today. May it pour out of you to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Have an awesome week. Dads, have an awesome day. We'll see you next week. Dads, pick up your gifts.
Come on and bounce with me like this. Come on. Can you bounce with me? Quiet, help me with this one.